Situated, I'll give you 10 seconds to kind of compose yourself and us to do the same. Mr. City Manager, Mr. Facilitator's ready. So this is a special meeting of the Morro Bay City Council regarding goals and objectives. We are located at the Community Center. This is a forum. It's Thursday, April 18th, 2019. It is 6:00 p.m. and all council members are present. So I will call the meeting to order. We do have a special meeting agenda this evening. This is primarily to look at our goals for next year, take public comment, and gain input. We'll have a number of interactive sessions with our facilitator. Our city manager will open with an interview, excuse me, an overview of the process for this evening. I wanted to just make a couple of opening comments. One, welcome and thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate that. This is one of a number of venues that we're using this year to obtain input. We've had a previous goals session where we took public comment and input, especially on our goals. We have had a POLCO, public polling opportunity available for members of the community. Many of you have used that. Many folks have responded to a number of questions regarding the setting of priorities for goals on the city. A number of council members have attended different venues and gone to different organizations to try to obtain input and inputs regarding what strategies and or goals individual organizations may well be interested in. And a number of you have written to us, obviously, regarding your own personal input, and then we've received a number of inputs from organizations as well regarding our goal setting for this evening. A couple of comments. One, we're not taking any action tonight. This is a work session, so there is no action item on the agenda this evening. I just wanted to make note of that. Two, we're facing a couple of issues this year, and I just want to create a little more context if I could. And as we have begun the process of looking at next year's budget, there are a number of significant constraints that we are being hit with that fundamentally will affect the financial viability on an ongoing basis of what we do. And primarily, we've talked a number of times about, you know, the CalPERS unfunded liability, which is very, very significant. And if you look back historically at the city over the past 10 years, and you look at the availability and staffing that the city has had, about 10 years ago, we had about 100 full-time equivalents employees in the city. And fast forward to today, we're at 99. And the point I want to make about that has to do with capacity and the ability to achieve goals that are set by a community and by a city council. Looking at historically, the lesser complex workload, I think 10 years ago, maybe that a city had, versus the increased complexity that it has today and the more limited capacity thusly to get work done. And that's not a setup for saying that we're not here to establish meaningful goals, but I do think it creates a filter that's important for not only the council and but the community as well to be aware of as we go into this setting. So I just wanted to make those opening comments and introduce our city manager, who will go over what we're going to be doing this evening, as well as introducing our facilitator. And Garrett, thank you for being here this evening. So, Mr. Collins, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you, Mayor and council members and members of the public who are here tonight and watching at home. As the mayor mentioned, we did have a March 1st community forum for members of the public to provide input regarding kind of the goals, which are high level, what we're trying to achieve in the programmatic or policy level efforts to help achieve those goals. We've had a really good response on the online engagement tool, which is POLCO, which is we're trying it out this year. And asking very general questions about how we can improve as a community, how we can improve in communicating and engaging with the community, what we should focus on as an organization for the next 2 years. As the mayor mentioned, we are limited in our capacity, so we can pretty much do anything, but we can't do everything. We really have to focus on the things that are going to have the biggest impact, that have the most meaning to our community. So we really tried to structure the outreach and engagement around that. Last year, when we had our goal-setting process, we had 8 people show up to the meeting. We think we could do better, and we have done better. We've had over 100, maybe 50 responses on POCO, which is a significant increase. We had about 20 to 25 people at the last meeting in March, and then this one looks at pretty good attendance as well. So that's a really good sign of our community engaging, and we're happy that we're able to facilitate that. Today, we will be working towards establishing the priority of our overall goals and then working through to establishing which programs or initiatives we should focus on for the next 2 years to accomplish those goals. So the community will have multiple opportunities tonight to express their preferences around those city goals and then express their preferences around the initiatives will help achieve those goals. So I'm really excited and encouraged to see the turnout tonight, and we'll be turning it over to Garrett Olson, who is our facilitator. He was here last year and then in March and now. I'm very thankful for his services. He was the recently retired fire chief of City of SLO and a really distinguished career in the fire field, but he's now turning his sights on assisting cities, not just fire departments, achieve meaningful outcomes for their community. So I'm happy to turn it over to Garrett. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. It's an honor to be back here in the city of Morro Bay. I had the great honor of being, as mentioned earlier, with this community last year when the goals were set, and I am absolutely blown away, not just by the number of people that are in the room tonight, so thank you for being here, but with the diligence that the city has done with multiple layers of outreach through POLCO, through direct council communication, through prior work study sessions, so thank you. Just in terms of a bit of an overview of tonight, with the assistance of the city manager, we're going to establish our current reality. What are the major city goals, and what are the projects and programs under those goals? After we lay a little bit of a foundation of the significance of tonight, we'll talk about major city goals, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to come before council and talk about those major city goals and what you see from the goal, which is those major overarching themes, which you see are the priorities from the community from your perspective. Then the city manager is going to assist me, and we're going to put all of the projects and programs that fall under those existing city goals. And again, we're going to come back to you and have you give us an opportunity to understand your perspective on the programs and projects that go into those major city goals. And then we're going to come back again, and we're going to present what we've heard through public engagement, through POLCO, through direct outreach to city council members, through email, through prior meetings, work study sessions. And we're going to use a very, very low-tech and I hope effective visualization for you that will allow you to see us honor the perspectives that you share with council, articulated through council to staff. And when we get to the end of the night, we will consider this time well spent if we have a good idea of the policy guidance to staff on the priority projects and programs and major city goals for the next operational period. So that's our goal tonight. And so I want to lay a little bit of a foundation for you with something that was a little goofy that we invented for Morro Bay, and it has the ridiculous name of the neck pillow spark plug, because that's what it looks like. And so what I want to do is just establish the context of this civic engagement and where we are tonight in the process of civic engagement. So this is the quality of life neck pillow spark plug. So, the quality of life here in the city of Morro Bay produces experiences, perspectives, and we experience new realities. PERS becomes a new reality. Changes in tourism, changes in cannabis laws, all of these things create new realities. So we establish a quality of life, we have experiences, and then through civic engagement and representative government, we come to this point tonight where we have policy guidance. So this is where we want to be. This is the life we lead. This is where this community has really crushed it this year with civic engagement. And this defines where we are tonight. This is our spark plug. This is the opportunity to take the collective brilliance of the community, to share that with council, and give council an opportunity to share with your senior staff, city senior staff that's here, what the priorities are for the community to feed the next quality of life. So your city staff is going to take information from tonight, and we're going to end with the city manager talking about next steps. But the next steps, in a broad sense, are to begin to form up programs and services based on your feedback tonight. That will translate to your professional staff and volunteers, boards and commissions, and all of that sits on top of, that's the veneer on top of all of these core city services that happen. And that's really something that's important to mention. Both the mayor and city manager referenced, city staff can do anything, but they can't do everything. And so we're going to talk about that veneer of things that are really, really important to the folks in this room and everybody else that's reached out to council to share with them what are the project's priorities for the city moving forward. But understand that day in and day out, we still have fire department responding to calls, a police department responding to calls, a parks department offering programs. And so we're really talking about all of those issues that really bubble up to the top. And it is the envy of many communities that the dialogue that we've seen so far in Morro Bay has been so incredibly aspirational. Many other communities, a lot of these meetings are more about what's going wrong down here rather than what are those enhancements to our community that we want to do, that we want to add as net new. So this is an amazing place to be able to express your priorities for programs and major city goals. And so with that, the city manager is going to assist me, and we are going to share with you what the current major city goals, those major themes that drive decision-making and resource allocation in the city, we're going to present those to you, make sure that you understand what they are, and then we're going to provide you an opportunity to come up to the podium. We're going to make it very easy. You don't have to fill out a comment card. Just come up and talk. The time will start when you start. Not everybody has to get up here. If you agree with something that somebody says, you can just raise your hand to let us know that you agree. And then as soon as public comment is gone, then we'll move into the next phase, which will be talking about all of those programs and projects that fall under those major city goals right now. We good? Awesome. Okay. City manager, our major city goals, we have four of them.
Okay. Well, I'll just hand them over to you one at a time. And these are in no particular order. So the first of four goals is to improve communication and community engagement. This was a new goal added last year, and it was really primarily focused on communication, which, as I describe that, is sort of one way. It's city out to the community, informing, educating, but that's only one part of the equation. And we've heard through this round of goal setting is that that's incomplete, that we really have to think about the other side is the engagement, is the interaction between the community and staff and council members, and that there's a lot to be gained through that interaction, improvement in policies, improvement in operations, improvement in the overall arc of the community and the city. So that is a major goal that is still here and present. The next is somewhat of a simplification, but it's to improve the city infrastructure. We do the best we can with what we have to maintain our roads and our tourist offerings and the things that are within the city's control, but we don't have sufficient funds to make the rest of those improvements possible. And we've seen some of those issues crop up with the stairs on Surf Street. We see it in our roads, even though we do spend a significant amount of money. They do need some love. Our sidewalks, the waterfront area. There's a lot that we could invest in to make the community look better and to encourage business growth in our community and to enhance our tourist offerings and quality of life for our residents. The next is one that most people have heard about quite a bit the last couple of years is financial and economic sustainability. Probably doesn't need much of an introduction other than, you know, our economy is doing well, but we still face a deficit at the city. That's because our pension liabilities are outpacing our revenue growth, even though the revenue growth has been strong and the business community is doing really well and the tourist sector is doing really well. We can't keep pace with those costs that we can't control. So really trying to focus on what we can do as a city to control our costs and also see what we can do to help improve or support our business community. Simple things like permit processing all the way up to encouraging new sectors to spring up in the community, maybe through things like broadband implementation. So that's a pretty lofty goal and a very important one, because we can't do anything without those revenues that drive what we do. And then the last one is a bit of a grouping of a couple issues. We've heard through this engagement process this year, which we didn't hear much about last year, is affordable housing and just the affordability generally of Morro Bay. And housing seems to be one of the major considerations that we have. People leaving because they can't afford their rents. Young people can't purchase homes and want to purchase homes here because of the costs. So that's something that we're looking at, and sort of makes sense to group that together with our land use plans. We're going through major updates of our general plan, local coastal program, and zoning code. And those two issues of housing and land use planning go hand in hand. So we felt it was important to group those together. So those are the major themes that we've heard the last couple years. So just any questions for council before we turn it over?
So let me recap real quick what they are in case you can't see them. So we've got improved communication and community engagement, improved city infrastructure, financial and economic sustainability, and address affordable housing, and complete update of land use plans. So now what we're going to invite you to do is come up to the podium and share with us your thoughts on the priorities of these goals, and if there is a major overarching goal that you would like to propose for council consideration, this is an opportunity to do that. So with that, we'll turn it over to you to share your thoughts with council. And if you are thinking about a specific project or program, we're going to get to those in a little bit. So if you're like, oh, I want this road paved, wait, because that's coming next. Right now, it's just those big thematic issues that you think the city needs to dive deep into.
Welcome.
Good evening, council and everybody. My name is Rigmor. This is very overarching goal. My goal is that this little city is being kept, maintained, and improved regarding our main infrastructures like sewer lines, water lines, historic buildings, and especially our already endowed nature. Keep our bay clean, take care of the sea otters and other sea life and birds, our estuary, our open spaces, our unique spots like the Surf Street stairs you tore down, because you did not maintain. And I hope you will maintain the stairs at North Point down to the dog park. Let people enjoy the area around Morro Bay, Bay Rock. And please do not even talk about fences. I know a government can ruin anything and any place by the words health and safety. I often think about that little creek that comes out by our new bridge down by the beach, how that could meander in from the beach and be a haven for small kids to wade in, to pick rocks, snails, and whatever else kids like to do, and with maybe some benches where parents could sit and watch and maybe have a little lunch or evening dinner at sunset. I would like the city to be a little more open to let volunteers, or Cal Poly, for example, do a trail for handicaps down Surf Street, and people with good legs could walk on those trails. I thought access to the waterfront for all people was supposed to be a good thing. I have seen in Norway how small cities got destroyed by powerful groups wanting this or that, and now they're going backwards and tearing up the asphalts, putting back cobblestones, letting restaurants be right at the waterfront where you can dangle your feet to cool off in the water, making walking streets no cars, putting back some small pocket park areas right smack in the middle of things. Trolley cars are back in vogue, and benches can just be a cut-down log or tree stump. So much more pleasant to meander around than the asphalted streets that were made for cars. And God forbid we did not have a fence here and there in case someone might fall into the water. Oh, wouldn't that be terrible? I think you have to be more open and all your strict rules. There are many people with great ideas and they're willing to, they're young people, I'm not like me, but they're willing to do little areas, but they feel the city is just going to be, can't do anything. So that's my hope.
Thank you, Rigmore. Feel free to come forward. Bill, welcome.
Thank you. Bill Martin, Morro Bay. A couple of things that popped in my mind, and especially when you're talking about quality of life as far as being our number one issue. And I know in the past I've hammered or brought up the subject that currently the LCP is going to be upzoning the Back Bay. And I think if you're talking about quality of life, the current zoning, which is there's a mixed harbor use overlay from approximately the boat launch back, because it's a very sensitive area and it limits that usage to recreational boating and fishing with all the heavy commercial to the north. I don't think that should be eliminated in the LUP like it's being presently proposed. And that would actually, if you're talking about quality of life, you would be eliminating quality of life by eliminating that overlay that currently exists in the bay. One thing I've noticed on the Embarcadero is every year with the tourism and that, it's a good thing, but it's getting jammed more and more. And over the last 20, 30, maybe 40 years, there have been proposal after proposal of extending the Embarcadero to tie into Highway 41 with the bridge. And I think it's getting to be about time. I know you have almost a single lane there. You could actually just bring in a crane and put a second lane to eliminate the pressure on the Embarcadero. The original thought was, I think, to put traffic through the town so that the Embarcadero traffic would also go downtown. Most of them go down Beach Street. But I think by giving a safety valve, that would actually take the pressure off the weekends in Morro Bay where it's kind of backed up, and it shouldn't be too expensive. So that's a couple points. And then the very last point is, I know Morro Bay is in a crunch. And I understand, budgeted $5 million for the wastewater treatment plant. I mentioned years ago, in fact, I talked to the wastewater treatment manager here a while back, that you could repurpose that without tearing it down for mariculture, abalone, or many uses. Those tanks, all you have to do is just rubberize or spray the inside and the building. And so rather than spending the $5 million, you have your intake for the salt water. Everything is there to actually convert that to a mariculture operation. It's tsunami-proof. You don't have to worry about it being flooded. The fish wouldn't care, or the invertebrate. And it could be a source of income. It could be a tourist attraction out there, and it would save you the potential $5 million of tearing it down. So these are just kind of a couple of comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Public comment is open. Welcome, Ms. Brinkman.
Thank you. Carolyn Brinkman, resident of Morro Bay. I wasn't going to get up and speak, but the last two speakers really inspired me to share an idea that I don't think would cost this community a lot of money. I think it's a start, and it's a new goal to achieve environmental sustainability of the city. We have great incentives to protect our the natural beauty of our city, the natural resources of our city, our ecosystem. And it seems to me that this would be an overarching goal because it would inform land use decisions. It would inform permitting. It would inform a lot of things. I did write a letter to council, and I did have as one of the objectives to start long-range planning for establishing Morro Bay as a center for eco-study and eco-tourism. But I think that's something that actually people could start to do. I think of TBID, and I think of what a natural fit that is. And we have so many local partners for this. I think of local groups like the Pacific Wildlife Center, Morro Bay National Estuary Program, Morro Bay Open Space Alliance. And then I think of Cal Poly, I think of Cuesta, I think of our local schools, and I think of the aquarium. And it just seems to me, starting to think about a center, also it would be nice to have a mid-size hotel that was really focused on ecotourism and eco-study with meeting rooms, places for people to come and offer courses, offer lectures. And then I think also another objective would be to support measures that reduce negative impacts on the environment, like looking for ways to provide a generous solar rebate program for residents to offset rising utility costs, and partnering with the Community Choice Energy Group, developing a process to incorporate local hiring into contracts to decrease the reliability on long-distance travel, which adds to pollution. And then maybe looking for ways to downsize the wharf to reduce the environmental impact of the project and the cost to residents. A lot of this really is keeping in mind a goal such as environmental sustainability for the city. It is something that would govern decisions that are already being made. So that was definitely one thing I wanted to share. One other thing was that I thought that achieving financial and economic sustainability for the city is very important, but it would be nice to add for its residents as well. And I see affordable housing there, so that's part of it. But there may be other things as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Public comment is open. Welcome, Mike.
Hello. Mike Manchak with the Economic Vitality Corporation. So I can say that I'm going to make a very brief comment, and I'd like to come back as we dig deeper into these issues. But it's as we do economic development around the county, we're often in meetings like this. And I have to say and applaud the city for doing such an amazing job in doing this with so much great outreach. That said, because it's a subject that I understand most, the economic financial sustainability is one that I think that it's often very hard for the public to wrap their arms around and then figure out solutions for. But at the same time, I would like to suggest that we try to message this in a way that the public feels like they are empowered to help on that issue. Because I think if you don't solve that issue, a lot of the other issues will pale in comparison. So I think, it's something that's hard to do. It's hard to figure out. The public probably wants to provide input on some solutions. At the same time, I think that it's far more, it impacts far more individuals than I think the individuals realize in the community. So I would just encourage you to keep doing an amazing job on the outreach. But really, and lastly here, to try to get more of the business community here to try to help and create this bigger posse, if you will, that says, we have a vested interest in helping, and we are here to do that. I think that is my only wish as well, that there's more engagement. I think the Chamber is doing an amazing job on that. It's just a matter of, I think, of getting the people here and then really investing their time in doing so. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Public comment is open. Welcome, Stu.
Good evening. I can say this. One of the reasons when I first visited Morro Bay and looking out over Morro Bay was that rock. Oh, my gosh, look at that rock out there. And I've spent the last couple of weeks talking to people at the rock about the functionality of what they planned to do down there and so on. It's amazing. Why you visited Morro Bay and our famous rock, there it is. Do you live in Morro Bay? Are you a surfer? The surfers are down there. It's kind of a precarious walk down to the rock or down to the surf. because of the way we've got that structured out there. And I believe something needs to be done to get down to the water so that the surfers can do that. Individuals, too. And I watched a lady carry a baby on the front of her, as they do, and she was meandering up the rock or up the walkway there. And that's an accident waiting to happen is what that is. So I believe we need to get on and doing that. If you stay in Morro Bay, where you're staying in a campground, you're staying in a motel, maybe you're staying in a private residence you rented here because of the special things. What if the parking lot was partially paved where the rock is, and a fee was charged in some areas? Now, we don't have to charge a fee for all of it, but Pismo got smart and did that, and they now charge a fee. There's no food service at the rock, even a small token hot dog or something like that. That could be, I imagine, worked out and negotiated. Should there be rentals of surfboards on the rock that they could use and go out and surf? I don't know, but you know, we've got a transient population here that booms in the summertime, and to the point where you can't hardly get back from the rock. I had one of your drivers tell me that it took him 45 minutes to get back from the rock. Well, there's a solution to that, and the solution is to put another road back from the rock, and maybe they go across the bridge and they pick them up on 41 on the other side. I don't know, but I believe what we need to do is get a committee together and sit down and talk about this, and what do we do with the people at the rock? How do we do it? And I think it'll make it better for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Stu. Public comment is open. Welcome.
Hi, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm David Baldwin. I'm a lifelong resident of the county here. Spent most of my life at the other end of the bay in Los Osos, but attended Morro Bay High School and have a lot of family here. I want to speak probably, I'm trying to make sure I stay within the format here, so I may want to speak again in a little more detail as we go further on, but kind of just wanted to maybe introduce an idea. I'm in the building trades. I'm the immediate past president of the Tri-County's Building and Construction Trades Council. And one of the things we take a lot of notice in is how cities look at their large infrastructure projects, and particularly in light of the goals that you stated, I think line up really nicely with a lot of what the trades workers think. And that is as far as engaging a local workforce, which you state your first goal is community engagement. And by that, I mean, you know, implementing programs or provisions that help to make sure that local workers, local businesses, disadvantaged, minority-owned, women, that they're engaged on these, especially on these big, large infrastructure projects where we have the ability to set into motion things at the city level that can make sure that those opportunities are given. and so, like I said, I don't want to go too deep. I'll come back up and talk a little more maybe in a few minutes, but I hope that along, I think, the lines with your economic feasibility, I think these are some things we can talk about, and like I said, I'll get more into detail here as we go on, but it's a good way, I think, for the city to not only help its tax base, but its local workers, but younger workers, especially that may want to enter into a career in the construction trades. These large infrastructure projects are that pathway to those careers, and there's a lot of good work we can do to make sure that we're engaged there on that. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Public comment is open. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Sean Perry, and I want to dovetail on what Dave Baldwin just spoke about. Like I said, my name is Sean Perry. I'm an electrician and a member of the IBEW in San Luis Obispo. My current position there is membership in business development. My job takes me throughout the county, visiting job sites, contractor offices, electricians' homes, high schools, the county fair even. I'm acutely aware of how many projects are being done in this county by out-of-town contractors and their workforce. I see it every day. My goal always is to hook up good men and young women with good contractors in the electrical industry. That's what we do at the IBEW. We train 40 to 50 electricians in a five-year apprenticeship program to be the best in the industry. They work 40 hours a week. They go to school two nights a week for 5 years. And the JATC is guided by the State Division of Apprenticeship Standards. We follow their rules. The reason I'm here tonight is to talk about the water reclamation project and a community workforce agreement. In light of the forthcoming and rapidly approaching closure of Diablo Canyon, and with it the loss of hundreds of local jobs, in light of the ever-increasing cost of housing and the decreasing number of working people that can afford them, you, I think, see the value in our local economy by ensuring at the very least, whomever you award this contract to, the people who actually live here can actually work on this project. That's what a community workforce agreement does. It bears repeating that good wages here get spent here, and the benefit, I understand, is seven times throughout the economy. We know that an agreement like this results in advanced technical training and technical experiences that last a lifetime for those individuals. There are some of the most technical jobs in the industry, this wastewater treatment plant project. We understand an agreement like this increases opportunities for minorities and women and veterans and those in need of a second chance. But not only that, we also know that a CWA allows large, technically intricate projects to come in on time and within budget without costly overruns. There is empirical evidence that they will show you to support this. You only have to go so far as Topaz, the Carrizo Plains Community Workforce Agreement there, and compare it to the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Plant, which did not have a CWA. It costs nothing more to the taxpayer to keep these jobs local. We ensure the compliance ourselves. Please recognize that projects such as this pay dividends that will last a lifetime in the hearts and minds of the people that work on them. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Public comments open. Scanning the audience from my right to my left. And looks like we have a winner. All right. Welcome.
Yeah, I am a winner, too. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council members.
Good evening.
My name is Berkeley Blake. I'm born and raised in San Luis Obispo. I'm blessed to be from San Luis Obispo, born and raised. It's beautiful here. I love Morro Bay. My mom lives here. My sister lives here. I live down on Highway 1 on a ranch, and that's the best place I ever lived in. I'm here for the water reclamation project. I'm here to try to promote local hire. Because of local hire, I am where I am today, and it's a blessing to be where I'm at today and have a new perspective like the gentleman put up there, new realities, experiences. You know, I get to do that here, and I get to give back to my community through my skill and through my safety that I get to learn at through going to school here through that local labor, or the local hire agreement that we had at Topaz. You know, I've been involved with local hiring for the last 7 years. I'll graduate as a general electrician in a month and a half. I just passed my state test after trying to take it three times. And before that, you know, I have a minute and 50 seconds left, so let me roll real quick through this. I've been clean and sober since February 23rd, 2012, a few months after deciding to make that change. I was given an opportunity of a lifetime. The community hire agreement at the Topaz Solar Farm was essentially what enabled me to be where I'm at today. I'll be forever grateful for that. I'm born and raised right here. I graduated here locally in 1985. I wandered almost aimlessly after that because of my inability to get hired on and given the chance I was given. In previous times, I would become desperate and turn to criminal activities because I simply had no marketable skills. That ultimately just led to extensive prison sentences costing taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars just for myself alone. Since being given the opportunity to be hired on to build the Topaz Solar Farm, I have steadily made significant strides in my life here. This is the longest time I've ever remained out of custody, and I attribute that to now having a marketable skill given to me through the local hiring program. I worked hard and people noticed. I was interviewed to become an apprentice electrician, and I was hired on through the IBW here in San Luis Obispo. What a huge blessing to both me and the city and county of San Luis Obispo. I have not looked back since. Local hiring not only continues to help me flourish, but helps me to move through the five-year apprenticeship program. I will now graduate in a month and a half. Without local hiring, I wouldn't have been able to get the job hours I needed to meet the mandated hours through the Joint Apprenticeship Training Committee that Sean spoke about. Local hiring also sees that the money that I make redistributed locally here in this county, you know, instead of having people come over here and thrash our county and have that environmental impact of having people travel here, we can have it stay right here locally, and it's huge. Thank you for letting me speak. Have a good night.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Public comment is open. Welcome, Susan.
Susan Stewart. I hadn't planned on saying anything, but that was a very powerful statement. In my mind, if we're looking at these overarching, you know, what is our top goal here, the financial and economic sustainability certainly hit me first. I think some of that depends on being able to diversify our economy, though, not depend entirely on tourism. So we need a broader, diverse economy. I think we need to accept that we're going to have to grow a little bit, and whether we grow, we have to grow within our boundaries. We can't spread, which is a good thing, you know, so we keep our open spaces open, but intensify our uses, intensify our housing. And the housing and the affordability is a big part of that. I know of one case where a business wanted to come in, purchase a property, open a business, couldn't afford housing here, decided to go somewhere else. So, and I think that probably happens a lot. And listening to the gentleman before me, thinking about my kids, I raised two really bright kids here. One of them is now in Brooklyn, you know, making decent money, and the other is in a PhD program, so who knows where she'll end up. But the likelihood that they will come home and find work here and find housing here is pretty slim. And I have lived here for 30 years and still rent a home. And I do own a business in town, and it's successful. But I look at the kids who have been raised here, and I think, sadly, the ones who are going to be successful in life leave. And that's kind of a tragedy for all of us. So, again, if we can somehow raise that financial sustainability, the economic sustainability of the community, bring in some more jobs, opportunities, things to do, have the affordable housing for people. With the added tax base, that's going to give us money to pave the streets. It's going to give us money to build the sewage treatment plant. You know, all of those fees and taxes and property taxes, it all goes into the kitty. So the money doesn't just generate out of nowhere. It's got to come from us. So anyhow, those are my comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Public comment is open.
Can I have a question on housing?
In just a moment. We'll have an opportunity to give detailed input.
There's certain things I don't understand.
Yes. So, general public comment? Looking around? Come on down. It's a easy mic to talk into.
Okay. Hi, I'm Richard Van Humbeck.
Welcome, Richard.
Hi. We have a home here in Morro Bay, and we're going to be moving into that in the next couple of months, and it's kind of where we're going to land. And consider myself and my family to be very fortunate because of that. 40 years ago, this February, I started my apprenticeship as a carpenter. And it provided a very good living for myself and my family. And I've been very active in helping people passed that on to the next generations ever since I finished my apprenticeship. And these infrastructure projects that we put up, I've always considered it a sin when that money leaves the community. That's an economic opportunity and training that we can provide to the next generation that we have in our high schools that we're wondering what they're going to do in their life. You know, we can make them productive members of society with a great future. I'm a director on a training trust with the Carpenters, and we are investing this year $7 million into a training facility for the apprentices that we have in the Central Coast area. But we need the support of the communities and local governments to help us get these kids from the high schools into these projects. We can get them on a recognized proper apprenticeship program, and so we can build a future with them. We're doing our part, but we need the communities to step up and recognize that they need to help us out a little bit, keep the jobs here, provide our own kids coming up with these opportunities so they can understand that they can live here and they can build here and they can raise their families here. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Public comment is still open.
Will there be an opportunity for comment on the water reclamation later? Could we take that opportunity now?
Public comment's open. Feel free to come forward. Instructions have been given, and feel free to say what you like. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here tonight, Mayor, members of the council. I really appreciate it. Moved here 20 years ago, went to Morro Bay High School, graduated, worked for Paul at the Dutchman there, Kitzman's at Culligan, so I'm very familiar with the area. And whenever I get to work in Morro Bay, it's always, you know, it's not a hard sell. It's gorgeous here, right? With the water reclamation project, with the community workforce agreement, we get a guarantee that local people are going to get to work on that job. I get to drive by, because I live in Los Osos, right, and say, I worked on that. Plus, it's gorgeous here again. I love working in Morro Bay. But after high school, I went in the military, came straight back. Just love the area.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But again, to dovetail as well on what another person said, I don't like to buy online. I don't like to buy elsewhere. I like to buy from people I know, people I see, people in my community. And that increase and that sevenfold, or I'm not sure what the numbers are, but on how it boosts the economy locally when money made here is spent here is a big deal to me. I bought these boots at a shop here. I try to buy everything I can where I live. Anyway, in closing, it's just who wants traffic as well, right? I mean, I'm going to be driving 10 minutes one way at most. So, anyway, thank you very much for your time. This community workforce agreement, if we can get that for the water reclamation project, that would just be a big win for everybody involved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Pat Holloway. Thank you guys for the opportunity to talk to you tonight. I am a resident of Morro Bay. I've lived here for almost 5 years. I just closed escrow 2 weeks ago on my own Morro Bay home. Prior to this, I lived down by the Embarcadero on Beach Street. I had the amazing honor this last Christmas to receive first place with making Morro Bay beautiful with my Christmas lights.
You're the guy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I have been building electrical projects for over 20 years. Before I purchased my Morro Bay home, I did live pretty close in the vicinity of quite a few hotels. And during that, I'd walk every evening, walk my dogs around those hotels. I was right there next to them. And out-of-town contractors usually stay in those hotels, and I would see it. And out-of-town contractors really enjoy working here in Morro Bay. It's why we live here. It's why we work here. It's a beautiful place to be. But sad reality a lot of times I would see their aftermath of enjoying working here. You would see cans, bottles, trash, things that local people I know for a fact that don't leave those around. Every time I would see those, you know, I would pick them up. My son, myself, my wife, we enjoy the beaches. We get in the water every chance we get. And when you see trash and you know the possibility of where that came from, it's, like I said, it's a sad reality. These community workforce agreements help the community by keeping that out. I understand people need to work, but people that do come, it's more of a vacation to them, and they don't enjoy to the full extent of what we have to offer in our own communities. So it keeps our local guys here. My son goes to school here, and it's just been a true blessing for us to be here. It's amazing. We had the opportunity to just buy our new home here, and we are all on cloud nine. It's really a great feeling, especially belong to a community like this. Our local electricians are highly trained, highly skilled, journeyman and apprentice level. These guys go through over 5 years of training. So when you get somebody to these our public works projects here locally, you're getting top-notch employment. I mean, you're not getting guys that you don't know where they've been trained, if they're even state certified. You don't know this. A lot of those contractors don't take the time to make sure that it is that's what they're doing legally. So tonight, thank you for looking at that. I really appreciate it. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pat. Public comment is open. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, and staff. I have more detail for, I think, the next round, but I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate the holistic nature of this list. It feels very cohesive. It feels that each are sort of linked, and I think the comments that you've been getting from the public engagement just now is kind of brings that to life. You know, we're living here, we're working here, and then we're engaging here. So I really appreciate that, and I look forward to the next round. Thanks.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Welcome.
I wasn't planning on saying anything, but this has been very inspirational. Hey, Erica. I'm Chris Redding. My wife and I live here in Morro Bay. I was sitting here just thinking about, you know, what an embarrassment of riches this community has. We all know it. We all, I think, pinch ourselves every day when we wake up and look at the ocean and everything we have around us. I know my kids who live in the Bay Area still would love to live here, but unfortunately they can't make a living here. And I was thinking about a number of things, so I'll try to keep it brief and focus on the last thing I was thinking about, which is, as a lifelong entrepreneur, I've been fortunate to have started 7 companies, all successful, knock on wood. I think part of that responsibility is, you know, how do you find ways to give back to the community? So two things. One is, you know, my wife Rebecca and I want to find ways that we can give as much as we can to the city of Morro Bay, whether that's time, money, effort, influence, whatever the case may be. But one of the things I was thinking about is, we all know this, small business really drives the economy. And if there are ways that we can create outreach programs to help kids starting in high school and all the way through college to explore how they can go into business for themselves, because it's not an easy path. And you really, I wish when I was in high school somebody had been able to mentor me and show me the path forward. Unfortunately, I had to figure it out for myself, and it was not always easy. But I think one of the things that we can, you may have already thought about this, but put together some kind of an outreach program to get in front of high school kids and college kids. I get a chance to speak at USC, where my kids went to school, to their entrepreneurship program. And it's very effective. And I've been able to mentor a lot of kids who have gone off to start their own businesses all over the country. And in this community in particular, we know kids that go to Cal Poly, they want to stay here, and they want to try to find ways to make a living here. And, you know, we've been fortunate to have a burgeoning wine region. We've had companies like Mindbody that have been hugely successful. I know there's more tech companies moving here. So I think an initiative to create more of an entrepreneurship outreach program might be very helpful for our young people. And if we can bring more economic opportunities through the form of small business, then that's something that I personally would love to be involved with. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Public comment is still open. Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Bring it back to you, Garrett.
All right. Well, thank you, Mayor and Council, and thank all of you for your very thoughtful feedback to Council. As you know, and as we've mentioned multiple times tonight, this is but one of many opportunities that this Council has employed to hear from its residents and key partners about the goals of this city. And so what I'm going to do now is give a five-minute break for everybody except for Mayor and Council, and I'll answer your question for you. And if it's one that I think might pertain to everybody, I'll repeat it. And what I'm going to give Council an opportunity to do over the next five or so minutes is take a moment to opine individually on what you've heard over all of the engagement opportunities about the major city goals. And I'm going to invite you to share your perspective. And we're also going to invite you to do an exercise. And I'm going to be very liberal with the instructions on the exercise. We're going to give you an opportunity not only to comment on the major city goals that are here and any that you believe need to come forward, we're also going to give you the opportunity to rank them. So there are currently four, and assuming we stick with four, you will have the opportunity to either force rank, meaning one, two, three, or four, or if for whatever reason you think there are two that are equally important, give both of them a number one. If you think all four are equally as important, give them all a number one. What we'll do at the end of your deliberation is we'll ask for your scoring, and if we see some consensus in there, then we will go through the effort of ranking the major city goals based on that consensus. If we don't see clear consensus, then that will simply be informational for staff to know, finger on the pulse of council in terms of how those major city goals fall in priority. Is council prepared for that?
If not, we will be.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you 5 minutes. If you're still looking down and busy, I'll extend the time. But this is your opportunity to reflect on all that you've heard from all of the public engagement that you've done tonight and everything leading up to this, and do some sense of ranking. Again, if they're all equally important, give them all a one. That's perfectly acceptable. And if not, do what you choose. For the audience, restrooms are out there, drinking fountains, and I will answer your question. We'll come back when it looks like council's ready. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call it back to order. Thank you. We can reconvene. We'll go ahead and get started. Thank you all. Continue to enjoy your fellowship silently. All right. Thank you. So, Council, the instructions basically are to look at the existing priorities and to rank those, and if you have short general comments at this point with regard to those, we're certainly open to that. And with that, if I'm paraphrasing what you said previously.
So yes.
Uh-huh.
So this is an opportunity for council to express what you've heard over all of the civic engagement with regard to the major city goals, and then we'll invite you to do the ranking exercise, and we'll see if that produces a result that compels us to go ahead and rank them, or it just becomes informational.
Great.
So this is your opportunity for all of council, as you were sitting there for 5 or so minutes thinking independently, this is your opportunity to share what those thoughts are.
Good. Great. So, I get to choose who goes first. Everybody's kind of nervous right now, wondering who is he going to call on. Actually, I'll ask for volunteers. Is there a volunteer that would like to go first? If not,
I'll go first.
All right. Council Member McPherson, thank
I'll
you
go
to
first.
My right. Go ahead and start us off.
Well, I just, first of all, want to say thank you to everyone who came out this evening, and I want to thank all the people at home who are watching and the people who participate in the POLCO survey. I have read all of the materials. I have read what our advisory groups have recommended, and I have read all of the comments that were made on the POLCO survey. So I really feel like I have a pretty good understanding of what the community has expressed up to this point, and I really do appreciate it. It truly helps. I know I've turned back when people have said to me, so what are your priorities? I've said, no, I want to know what your priorities are, because we're here to represent you, and so that's what I want to hear. In terms of the four goals, and I might mention that the WRF, the Water Reclamation Facility, you will notice is not up there. And that was, of course, a major goal that we have had for a number of years. And I know the council has said that we would like to incorporate that and sort of de-emphasize it. So I am assuming that that goal is now in the public infrastructure, or the infrastructure and public spaces improvements. So we don't want to forget that, because we do need to finish that. So with respect to the four goals, I have to say I could not tell you that one is more important than the other. I think all four are important. If I had to say one overall, I would have to say achieving economic sustainability. We have to have the money to do any of the other things that we want to do. So I would put that number one, but truthfully, I don't want us to neglect any of the other goals, because I believe they're all important to our survival as a community. The only other thing I would add to my comments at this point, as we move into the next phase, is that I would hope that we don't overextend ourselves, that we do not, that we're realistic about what we think we can achieve, that we are really forced to make the priority decisions, because I do remember when we had way too many objectives, and as a result, it was scattered and nothing really got accomplished. And I would like to see us accomplish things. I would like us to set a timeline. I would like to know exactly how we're going to achieve the things we agree are the priorities for next year. So that's my comments.
Thank you. And so can I clarify with you that I will rank fiscal and economic sustainability one and all others number two?
Correct.
Thank you.
You can do that.
Great. Thank you. Well, Councilmember Davis.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to rank economic sustainability as number one. And this goes back to the reason that I ran for office originally, was that I want to help our city survive. If we are not able to balance our budgets for an extended period of time, we lose our identity and we cease to exist as a city, and we become a community services district. And we'd be driving to San Luis Obispo tonight, or during the daytime, to voice public comment and ask for county services. I think it's important for our city to survive, because we are proud to live here and we are willing to work hard to make our city a great place to live. And as with Marlis, I will rank everything else number two, and that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Addis.
I would rank all of those number one because I don't think we can really have economic stability, or actually I'd like to think of it as economic prosperity, unless we have all minds engaged. And so to me that connects with community engagement, but it also connects with housing, because we have a population that less and less is able to afford where they're living in Morro Bay. We have young families leaving Morro Bay. We have declining enrollment at our elementary school. And I think that has the potential to impact our economics because we don't have the workforce that is able to live here. So I see all of these tied together. And then you have to have a working infrastructure to have a thriving economy. There's just no way around that. So I see all of these as equally important and tied together.
Thank you, Councilmember Heller.
First of all, thank you all so much for coming. I really had the fear that we would be sitting here tonight, there'd be nobody in the audience. Goal setting is not necessarily the most exciting topic, and heaven knows we've talked about lots of goals here in the city for many years, some of which we've reached and some of which we haven't. So I want to thank you all for not only showing up, but coming up to the microphone and speaking, which is not the easiest thing to do. And I wrote down absolutely every word that each of you said, and I take it very, very seriously. Lots of great ideas from all of you. And I think even though it's a small group, I think we've touched on a lot of issues that are important to lots of people who live here. So thank you again for coming and commenting. If I'm being forced, and I told Scott Collins I didn't sign up for doing any exercises tonight, so I feel kind of tricked by this whole setup here. But
so noted.
Thank you. But for Mr. Olson's, don't want to blame Mr. Olson for this.
I had no idea this was going to happen.
He had no idea. Okay, yeah.
You owe me
right,
that.
Right, right.
Nor did I.
You know, I believe this is a remarkable community, and I believe it's very special. And I believe that it's the energy of the community that will help us come through the challenges that we have in the coming years. We are here to serve you and to implement what you want done. So my number one ranking for the list here is communication and engagement, because I really honestly believe even though we have so much going right now, we have a lot more engagement than many small cities. I believe we've just scratched the surface. And if we're really going to come through the next 5-10 years in a strong position and continue to maintain this city with full services, we're going to have to work together, and we need your help, as I've said many times before. Now, we have citizens advisory committees, but just the ideas that were mentioned tonight, we just need champions for every one of those to take those things on and bring them forward. There's so much potential out there. So that is my number one ranking is the communication engagement. I really believe that all of the others fall into line if we can step that up. The financial piece is probably the second most important piece in my mind. And my vision is that the city would present a menu to the community for what our options are to get ourselves out of this annual structural deficit. How much do we want to set aside for infrastructure repairs? Do we want to look for the federal government or the state government for money? Do we want to put a proposition on the ballot to generate revenue for this? These are all choices that the residents should make. And I think that staff's job and council's job to create that menu based on options and ideas that come from you. And then you can decide. We need to look at our services. We need to look at the entire financial picture in a neutral way from a business standpoint, and then the community can decide. We're not going to agree. There's no question about that. But I think the communication and engagement in a deeper way will help us through the financial and economic sustainability, as well as any other issue that comes up. Just about everything we want to do here relative to goals is not free. Most of what we want to accomplish here, affordable housing, there's a cost impact to that. Infrastructure, there's a cost impact. We're doing, I can't imagine a city that is doing more with less money than we are right now. The volunteerism in this community is amazing. I'm amazed when I walk to the Rock, which I try and do every day, I meet from time to time a woman named Barbara who's there with a broom. I don't know if you've run across her. And every time I stop and I see she's sweeping off the boardwalk, and then I introduce myself and I said, are you a member of an organization or a group? Or are you part of Morro Bay Beautiful? And she says, no. I said, well, why are you doing this? Well, I just like to keep it clean. I get exercise, and I think it's a good thing to do. That is so amazing. And that, to me, that is what Morro Bay is all about. But that will only take us so far. We do need to look at our financial situation. So the financial piece is number two for me, and the other two fall behind those.
So the other two would be a three.
Yes, both. Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. So I'm touched by the testimonies that I heard tonight, and the heartbeat of the community, and it not only comes through this evening in a number of the stories that were told about what an opportunity we have here and how what I'll call blessed we are to be here. But what a challenge it is to continue to try to remain here because of the cost of living and affordability. The rankings for me are very difficult as well. It's often said in business or industry, no mission, no value, and no organization. And then it's often also stated, no money, no mission. And somewhere in between there is the truth, I think. And so this ranking is very difficult. I would have to state that, as Councilmember Addis said, I consider them all to be extremely important. If I had to select one, it would be financial viability, because of what I know to be true today. That's very different than what I know to be true 4 years ago with regard to the challenges that the city is now facing. And so I would rank that number one, the remainder two, however you want to categorize that. I wrote down some themes that I heard, but I also, through poll call, read, and then in multiple groups that I've been to, heard. One, capitalize on ecotourism and maintaining natural beauty in the environment. Two, embrace change. Cultural transformation is necessary now because of the challenges that we face. Three, diversify the economy. And I'm not trying to give you subcategories, but capture some of the themes that were established here. Four, be nimble. Move quickly because change is occurring so rapidly. We can't take a lot of time to not act and react to the environment now that's been created around us. Four, raise the bar for what we need to accomplish and what we need to do. And last, support the local economy and keep it local. Dollars that are generated here should be utilized here. Dollars that are generated here are utilized here. And I'm hearing a lot about workforce development, keeping dollars local, keeping spending local, and creating opportunities for people to have the opportunity to even live here from an affordable fashion. So just some high-level themes that I captured as well through everything that I had. But for me, financial sustainability and then everything else, but they're all a close second. So back to you, Garrett.
Well, thank you for creating chaos, which is wonderful because that's representative government. There is not clear consensus in a ranking, but there is general consensus in the gravitas, the weight of these major city goals. And I think more important than your number was your comments that your senior staff is here to absorb from our residents and also from you. And so, with your permission, I'm going to say that that exercise was informative, but really did not result in a forced ranking of our major city goals. Certainly, we did see that financial and economic sustainability was the one that got the most number of ones, but there is not a clear necessity, I don't believe, at this point for us to force rank these. That work for you? Fantastic. I see heads shaking. The next thing that we're going to do, and I want to provide you some comfort, because I heard some of you touch on maybe a desire to massage the verbiage in these major city goals. What I'm going to do with assistance from the city manager is we're going to first share with you the work projects that are under the existing work projects under the existing major city goals as they're worded. And then we're going to share with you what we've learned through civic engagement over the last few months. And so with that, I'm going to reintroduce to you more silly graphics, I apologize. But when we were together last year, we talked about how difficult it is to prioritize, and we just saw that with this exercise here. And so sometimes when you're able to use a familiar term is much easier than a forced ranking. And what we talked about last time were five categories, and we're going to limit that down to 3.5 here tonight. And so what we talked about last time was that if there was a project or a priority that this council wanted accomplished, wanted to be front and center with staff, we talked about that as being served up on the plate, if you recall. So that's something that is initiated immediately, is a high priority. And then the next, we talked about things that are important to the community, but aren't front burner, as we talked about before. So if you remember before, there were two other categories in between here. I've eliminated those for tonight because they're not germane. They might be germane 2 years from now when you come back and do your full major city goals. We'll revisit that in the future. But the next category is the refrigerator. So that's something you want preserved, that if you have capacity, if you finish everything off your plate and you're still hungry, you go to the refrigerator. In the case of staff, if they complete all of the projects under what is served up on the plate and they have capacity, then they start to consider the things that are in the refrigerator and bring that back to council to allow you to provide direction on the priorities. And then the last was the trash bin or the recycle bin. And this isn't offered with any sense of disrespect for what is brought forward. It really does go back to that statement of staff can do anything, they just can't do everything. And so for whatever reason, if it's a timing issue, a capacity issue, some things aren't even on the radar at this point. If they're on the radar, they're in the refrigerator. If this is not a time for staff to have that issue hovering in the background, then we respectfully put it in the recycle bin. And so right now what we're going to talk about are all of those items under our current major city goals that have been teed up by council direction last time to be on the plate. And Scott is going to introduce those, and I'm going to play Vanna White and post them for you.
I am not Pat Sajak. All right, first one, wind energy. I think everybody knows we're working hard towards something that's future-oriented. It's a 5 to 7 year horizon, but we are spending time on it currently. It was discussed last year during the 2018 goal-setting process. That's something we want to continue working on. So as this would go under economic financial. Next up is the boatyard, and maybe Eric Endersby can give a 30-second. Is that possible for you to do 30-second?
Sure, if you want to turn the timer on me. So the boatyard is an initiative that the Harbor Advisory Board has been looking at for a few years now. Potential of building a full-service boatyard here in town in Morro Bay. We've had two boatyards here historically. We're down to one. It can handle one boat at a time. And not having a location to put one has always been an issue. When the Triangle parking lot became available in the power plant property here a couple of years ago, it resurfaced as a possibility that we could build a boatyard, so it got back onto the list, and the Harbor Advisory Board and staff have been looking at that and pursuing whether it's financially feasible or doable or not. Is that good?
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. And that one sort of can fall in between financial, economic, and also infrastructure. Next up is, and this is financial, this is a fee study cost allocation update that was initiated last year under the 2018 goals. We're still working on it. Significant haul to get it to City Council. There will be outreach once it's been introduced because there could be impacts to the user groups that pay those fees, so we want to make sure that's robust. The cost allocation plan relates back to the enterprise funds that help pay for the overhead, you know, city manager, HR, risk, attorney fees, those things. So we need to revamp that every 5 to 10 years. So that will represent a significant lift and is not complete. The next one is a small item. It's the WHARF implementation. That would be a infrastructure goal, under the infrastructure goal. And as I think Councilmember McPherson mentioned, the March 1st goals session, Council all, from a consensus standpoint, said, you know, we need to de-emphasize the WHARF. That doesn't mean it's not important anymore and that we don't have challenges and things we have to move forward with and still have a lot of outreach to the community on, but it means it's not a standalone goal any longer, that it really falls under the infrastructure goal. Next up is the partnership policy update, which goes under financial. This relates back to the fee study. We do have a limited number of partnership policies where we provide a reduced fee for renting city space in return for a city benefit. For instance, the radio station, they pay a reduced fee to rent out of a city facility. In return, we have airtime to explain what's going on at the city to our residents. It's an important service. But there's concerns about equity, concerns about it not being applied to all things. It relates back to the fees because we do have a lot of groups that use our facilities, a lot of city events or public events put on in the city, and we're trying to create equity and fairness and also encourage certain activities. So that will be through the fee study process. Next up is the aquarium, and this probably, again, is financial economic. Council recently made the decision to continue to move forward with Central Coast Aquarium. They have about a year to come back, less than a year now, to come back with a concept and an update, significant update to Council on their fundraising activities. Cal Poly and the city are partners to that at this point. Like I said, about 11 months, there'll be a report back, but they're going to be providing quarterly check-ins along the way to ensure that Council that they're making progress in the big report at the end of the year. Vacation rental policy update would go under the bottom one on housing and plans. Right now that is on pause as we work through the general plan, local coastal plan, zoning code update, but very important issue to our community. We certainly still hear about it, and we're not saying it's not important. It's just the same staff who was working on general plan local coastal program would also be the same staff that would take on this effort, which would be very significant because it takes a lot to get it right for our community. Next up, which is somewhat related, would go under economic sustainability, is the vacation rental recreational vehicle park inclusion into our tourist business improvement district. Currently, neither of those entities pay into the assessment or don't collect assessments, whereas our hoteliers and moteliers collect 3% on every overnight stay. Presents an equity issue. And of course, if there's more money paid into the TBID, there's more opportunity to market our community as a tourist destination. That is going through an outreach process currently. We'll probably come back to Council in September this year. Parking management plan, which is probably, I'll maybe put on an infrastructure for now, but it could cross over into financial and economic sustainability. We did hear a discussion tonight about the rock parking. We do hear from a lot of businesses on the Embarcadero and downtown about parking impacts. A lot of times their own employees parking in front of their businesses all day long, or you know, recreational fishermen who park in front of restaurant parking and they're there all day long and aren't necessarily, you know, utilizing those restaurants. It presents challenges to those business owners. You know, the discussions thus far has been that, you know, we're going to look at it. But again, similarly to the vacation rental, we have the same staff are occupied on major initiatives. Doing a parking management study, doing any kind of parking implementation is a significant undertaking in a coastal community because of the Coastal Commission. So just something that's been out there as council's been targeting it, but we haven't been able to get to. Revenue measures would be under financial and economic, kind of a general overhead. I believe Councilmember Heller acknowledged that, you know, we kind of have to look at all things, but one side of that is the revenue equation. Council members have talked about it this year that we want to have a session at council where it's specifically focused on our revenue options long term, because we do have we're heading into structural deficit mode, not from any lack of cost consciousness, but so much as the rising pension costs, and even with revenues doing pretty well, it's not keeping up with the cost of just doing business as we do today. The Market Street Plaza project, again, probably financial and economic. That is, city owns the D'Estacio's building and the parking lot below and above. And we were working through brokers to carry interest in the development community for a project that would help connect our waterfront and downtown. We anticipate proposals will be coming to council soon. So that'll just be beginning of the phases of several phases before anything would move forward. A lot of effort involved in that. Lease management policy update. Eric, would you put that in infrastructure or finance, economic? Yeah, finance. So that is the city owns, or I guess manages the lease sites on the waterfront, on the water side, and council has asked that we take a fresh look at the policies that guide those decisions, and we've engaged an ad hoc committee of leaseholders, of folks who have harbor interests, of community members who have no interest in that, a wide spectrum of perspectives, and city staff and council subcommittee are participating. That is being facilitated pro bono by former interim city manager Marty Lamelli, which is great. Those policy discussions will come forward to council later this year. The backside of that is being able to implement, because some of that is about lease auditing, about keeping our facilities up to par, and that requires a workload issue on our harbor staff, so something we'll be looking to in the future. Opportunity sites was something that was discussed last year, was sort of a refrigerated, if you will. Those are some of the bigger global, and that would be financial, economic. Some of the sites, like the power plant, or what would we do with the wastewater treatment plants, the existing site, when the wharf is completed and that is no longer needed. And those other opportunity sites that have been discussed in the past are still out there. And what do we want to do with those moving forward? It will require significant community engagement throughout the process. The general plan, local coastal program, zoning update under the bottom, if you will. And I think I already explained that. That process is in the Coastal Commission's hands, staff hands right now, working closely with our staff to respond to comments, and then that will be going forward to the Planning Commission in a couple months, and then a lot of process and community engagement there, and then to City Council for decision-making from that point on back to the Coastal Commission, the commissioners themselves, to approve or condition or whatever they plan to do with it. And the zoning code would come on the heels of that, and then vacation rental policy. And then last but not least, and this is probably a bit fits best under the communication outreach, is the coordination with community groups. We've sort of been taking swipes at that. We had the Adopt Morro Bay program that was put in play last year. That was one of the goals or initiatives, if you will, so that folks can sort of help pay for infrastructure improvements by adopting park benches and other beautification efforts. And we have a lot of groups who really do step up where the city cannot to make our city shine. And there's probably more we can do with other groups to help in the city's efforts. And one more that's sort of, I think it's probably been approved or not for discussion under the last, is the warming center, warming shelter. We did submit for a homeless it's a HEAP grant. I can't remember what the acronym stands for. It's going to the Board of Supervisors next week for decision making. We weren't recommended by the advisory groups who reviewed all the applications. We're still hopeful that maybe supervisors will find in their heart to support a community that actually has consensus around this as being something to support, whereas other communities are kind of ripping themselves apart over it. We see the need here and see that it's a compassionate thing to do. But we'll see how that falls. We have talked to county staff that there may be other future funding opportunities to support that. So we want to make sure that's still captured up there.
So just real briefly to add context to that, we talked about core services. So every day, this is a safe, beautiful, clean community with service that's delivered over the counter. These are the projects and programs that are on top of those core services that are taking up staff capacity and time. And they are the existing projects and programs. And so I told you we were going to have 3.5 categories. I need to create capacity because what we've heard over the last few months has been a lot of net new projects and programs. And so we're going to create a new 3.5 category called the shopping list. And I'm only calling it a shopping list because if I said a parking lot and I stuck with food over here, I'd probably get people even more confused than I'm making you. This is essentially a place for us to stage net new programs or projects in the community. And so these are the ones that we've heard about already. Then we're going to give you an opportunity to provide public comment if there are ones up there you want to highlight, or there are new ones that you want to add. And then we're going to invite you, each of you, to come up and vote for the ones that you think are most pressing. And I'll explain that when we get to it. But for right now, we're going to do the same thing. Scott is going to read off what the projects are, and I'm going to post them up here, and then we'll get to public comment.
Okay, so you're going to try to categorize these or just put it on the shopping
list?
Okay, great. Okay. So the first step is to inventory and prioritize capital needs. We have a barely a ballpark idea of what our unfunded liabilities are in terms of our capital maintenance and what we currently provide and then maybe what we want to aspire towards. So that would be that's been something that's been discussed by council and community members. Something that we've heard from the community, hoteliers, and also just regular community members is consideration of a TOT reinvestment program, which was highly successful in Palm Springs and other communities in California, where TOT is remitted to the city, but only half of it, and the other half is retained by the hotelier, and they use that to make physical improvements to their asset and help raise the game for themselves or raise the bar for their hotel, and that leads to their neighbor maybe doing the same thing. And then they pay that back over time through that investment and see their TOT raise significantly. The entire inventory of Palm Springs raised a star across the board, and it's completely revitalized what was sort of a declining tourist location. We've heard that the permitting process for our city is sometimes opaque and challenging, and I think we acknowledge that. We do have, our codes are conflicting, and that's why we're going through the general plan, local coastal program, zoning code updates, so that we can have a code that doesn't conflict and doesn't create, chaos for even our own staff to understand. So that's something we've heard to look into. We've heard tonight and before to include local labor on capital improvement projects. It's something that council has asked for to come back at a previous council meeting. We did adopt a tourism strategic plan, and now it's time to implement major components of those. So we've heard that that's a priority. We've heard from community members that they'd like us to consider proceeding forward with a high-speed internet partnership with either Digital West or somebody like them. We've heard about public-private partnerships where the city maybe provides seed money, maybe an investment strategy of sorts where We provide some seed capital for new businesses to come in or for existing businesses to expand their operations. The economic strategic plan called for the city to create an ombudsman to kind of shepherd the economic development activities in the city. At that time, there was a deputy city manager position in the office of the city manager. That position was cut after I got here. So we don't have anybody who's designated as the economic development person. So that's something that we're still trying to wrestle with. We've heard about the solar rebate program. The city has joined the Monterey Bay Community Power group, which will be providing a choice to our residents for where our energy is purchased and the level of green energy is purchased and the pricing that you pay that you currently don't have with PG&E. Those you'll be able to opt out of that program if you'd like, but that'll go live beginning in January of 2020, and they do provide rebate programs, so I'll be following up to see if that's one of the options they have available. On the housing front, all the cities and the counties are going through their housing element process and really trying to figure out what the global solution is for affordable housing and housing in general, and the city should be a partner in that activity. And last is we talked about revenue measures, but revenue specific for meeting our capital needs. That's probably not inclusive of everything we've heard, but those are the ones that we've heard repeatedly over and over again that have had multiple submittals, either through POCO or through emails or comments to council, or what I've heard from council members themselves. So like I said, it's probably not inclusive of everything, but those are the recurring programmatic ideas that we've captured through the process.
Thank you. So what we're going to do now is open it up to public comment for you to comment on anything that you see up here or anything that you don't see up here in terms of a new project or priority. And just to set the context for that is this is, and we've said it several times, this is one of many public engagement sessions. And so we're going to get to a point when the city council is going to very thoughtfully consider things to move over here. And their consideration will take into account all of the public engagement that has occurred tonight and everything prior to it. So with that, we will invite you to come forward for public comment on projects and priorities.
Welcome, Rigmore.
Thank you. I didn't hear Surf Street Stairs was up there. And I'm not thinking of money. I know on Toro Lane you had the thing going down, and I followed it on planning on how the guy was going to be able to do another little lane going down without any ADA, without any $800,000 or anything like that. So I'm just wondering if Cal Poly came forward and said that they would like it as a project, I'd be willing to give up my Social Security check until I die. And there's other people who, you know, would help, but I think that since the city didn't maintain it and they're at fault of it being taken down and costing now to be rebuilt, that's now going to have to follow the new code, should at least contribute $100,000 instead of the $800,000 they're talking about. That's called free help. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you for having me speak. I would suggest a couple of things as it resonates to fiscal and economic sustainability. I think that there are a couple of things that aren't really mentioned here, and I don't want to add noise to the amazing focus that we have here, but there's a couple of competitive advantages that I think this community has that others don't. And two of which, one of which is a business incubator. I think we talk about places and startups and businesses that are in other places, but if you get to San Luis Obispo, there's really very little place any longer where a small business can have short-term leases and grow a business quickly. They're looking for long-term leases in the bigger metros that we have. So I think that that's something that you could get a company to start here, and it might very well stay here. So you're starting to grow your own company, which is really amazing. I know that the chamber long ago had such a thing, but I don't think it was designed as they are often current. An example I can give you is bridge work in Atascadero. We were instrumental in helping that start. It's a hugely successful. In fact, it's so successful, I wanted to mention that there are people who live in Moore Bay who drive over the hill to go to it in Atascadero. So why not have your own and keep them here? The other is actually on the issue of tourism, which is a gem in this city. But there's another competitive advantage I think you have here, which is, you know, there's a lack of, I think, you know, maritime-related events that you could have here. One in particular is there's a lot of communities on the coastal areas around the country that support and foster sailing, racing events that would come in here and spend, in some cases, an obscene amount of money that, again, goes back into the coffers. I know we have in the case of the Amgen event, it could be similar to that, but everyone often has a piece of the Amgen event where you folks could have a piece of a maritime event that no one else could have. So again, I think that's a competitive advantage that I think this community could actually benefit from. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you again. Yeah, I just had a couple thoughts also, and economics, I know, are a big factor. In fact, I heard the other day that Lompoc has a $65 million debt for CalPERS. I'm not sure what Morro Bay is, so I mean, I understand the 800-pound gorilla in the room. A couple of thoughts, and I had mentioned way in the past, you have your recycled water from the plant. I don't think you currently have a giant use for it. You could use that water in ag land to share crop avocados or different crops. It would be, you know, you could tenfold the return on your money by contemplating something of that if you wanted to, you know, a thought for money generating. The other thing is State Park Marina, the Midway Marina it used to be called. The city could have taken over that lease years ago and stepped in and managed those slips down there. I believe it's on a month-to-month. There's about 100 slips. Current rents are in the city around $400 a month. I think it's less there because it's controlled by the state park. But that's another revenue source the city could, you know, step in or oversee. The one thing as far as the other thought was, I know I talked to Christine Johnson before the meeting when she made her presentation on her aquarium, and she mentioned that she would have been interested in the Breakers building, that's D'Estacio's. For them to spend $5 million to build a brand new building on roughly a 50-foot waterfront lot when they don't need the waterfront. I've mentioned this in the past. If they could utilize that building rather than being torn down, it's almost a historic building, the old Breakers. It would tie the Embarcadero up to the city, and I think when you're talking of quality of life, the parking would be much more suitable up there. You wouldn't congest the Embarcadero, and you could downsize whatever development you're thinking about, because there's a lot of room on that property, so you could piggyback a development next to the aquarium. And I think if you downsize, supersizing and building that whole area into a convention center and hotel rooms, if you just use the existing building for the aquarium, save $5 million, you know, as far as having to duplicate it on the Embarcadero, and then build a smaller version of what you have in mind right next to it, because there's a ton of land there. So that's another thought. The last thing that I had in mind was there's about four or five wind energy companies that are competing for the offshore. I think Vestar is the current owner of the PG&E property or the Dynegy, and I understand they're also interested in doing wind energy. So maybe you jump the gun or, you know, too soon as far as tying in with a German company, but we might keep your options open on the other companies. Thank you,
Bill. Appreciate that. Public comment is open. Welcome, Aaron.
Good evening, Council. Aaron Oaks of Save Morro Bay. And so I wanted to thank the Council and staff for creating this forum for civic engagement. This is really an excellent opportunity for people to express their points of view in a comprehensive manner. So thanks again. So before I stop by this meeting, I sent an email to the council. So I have a series of goals and visions for the community. And I'm just going to go over them really briefly. The first one is to coordinate with Digital West to install fiber optic internet for residents and business owners. And the reason I specifically mentioned Digital West is because they offer competitive rates for installing fiber optic lines into Morro Bay, and I spoke to the corporation about it, and they were excited about the opportunity, and I hope the city can engage with them on that. And one of the reasons is not only to provide affordable internet access, it's also to give potential tech businesses and stakeholders the proverbial green light to establish operations in Morro Bay. I mean, I'm thinking of organizations like Clever Ducks, iFixit, and Land Gorilla. There's a lot of excellent tech companies in San Luis Obispo that can also expand their operations into Morro Bay. The other one is review local ordinances, planning, and permitting processes that are either inconsistently enforced or create hardship for businesses. So I spoke with a lot of business owners in the community, and they've told me that they filed complaints with the planning department because they felt the permitting process was either confusing or that planners would come into their businesses and say, you violated this ordinance and you have to correct, and another planner would say something different. So I think that the city, it would be in the best interest for business owners in the community to form a business development task force, ad hoc committee, to isolate a lot of these problematic ordinances and through the permitting process, and to make sure that the business community is heard. And I spoke to members of the chamber, and they also agree to that sentiment. Another goal is to identify industries that further enhance our economic development and show compatibility with our community's overall character. And I didn't mention in my email, but I think if we can include industries that provide medicinal and recreational cannabis, that would be really important because they provide amazing revenue to a lot of cities. As long as you create responsible guidelines for them to succeed, they will do so. There are a lot of communities like Grover Beach, they kind of have trouble setting the guidelines, but I'm confident with this city, with the open-mindedness of the city, that businesses in the cannabis industry can thrive. And that's about all the time I have, so thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Public comment is open. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Pete Kaus. I've lived in Cayucas for about 25 years. And first of all, I would like to thank Councilwoman Adis for bringing the CWA to everybody's attention. My wife and I own a small business here in Morro Bay, Dippin' Dogs Groomery, if you need your dogs done, and create 4 local jobs, which took a 2.5-hour drive off for work day. I've been in the pipe trades for 35 years, and the first 10 of those years, I was working out of Southern California, building supermarkets up and down California. I built the Albertsons here, did the Williams Brothers, Devon's, and so on and so forth. And on those jobs, almost everybody was out of town. They were all from Southern California. I was fortunate enough to fall in love with this area and get a job with a local contractor who was able to get some of those contracts and hire locally, which created some jobs for us around here. Okay. The water reclamation plant would create so many jobs for so many trades and apprentices that it would create careers for so many people to get that job and hire locally. And that's all I'd like to say, and thank you.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Welcome, Erica.
Hello again. I hate to read. I feel like this has been such a great personal kind of an interaction, but I am representing the chamber. This isn't Erica's list. So since council's initial goal meeting in early March, the chamber has continued our extensive outreach efforts to assess action items that further city's number one goal in 2018, which was to achieve fiscal and economic sustainability. Members of the chamber's leadership have directly engaged 30 small business owners, 7 Morro Bay community leaders serving in elected or appointed positions, and 7 economic development professionals working in our region from other cities, economic development professionals working in other cities and from organizations such as the EBC and the Hourglass Project. In addition to the direct outreach, we did receive 25 responses to an online survey poll asking for input on business community priorities. The Chamber's 14-member Governmental Affairs Committee has recommended the following items to the Chamber's Board of Directors as the primary things that they'd like to see moved forward in 2019. I'm here tonight to share those top items with you, but I'll preface the list by stating that the business community perspective is that the time for action in economic development is now. So with that, I'm here to respectfully recommend that city include the following in order to accomplish fiscal and economic sustainability into 2019, prosperity even, into 2019 and beyond. So the first is to create action teams to redevelop opportunity sites and vacant lots that have been identified in the council adopted plans, including the EDSP and the DWSP. Marketing the city to attract new investment that fits our community and to encourage reinvestment by current businesses and commercial property owners. Moving high-speed fiber optic connectivity forward to diversify the internet options of local businesses and consumers, but also to diversify the city's future industry mix. Taking immediate action on sign ordinance implementation, where local level jurisdiction would allow, and improve general community signing with special emphasis on needed exposure for Morro Bay's businesses, by freeway travelers, for vehicles on local streets, and by pedestrians. So this is the wayfinding signage program that we are currently implementing through the 4MB project. Expediting all permits for commercial development currently in the pipeline, and continuing to advocate for the development of the Morro Bay wind energy area. We see this effort that should include, or we'd like to see this effort include development of an industry cluster around the improvements such as research or development facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment is open.
I just have one side note if I could make on the boatyard. Strongly recommend it, but in the boating community, there is a missing link, which I know the harbor master is well aware of, which is the lack of a crane that gets the boats in and out of the water, much like they have in Avila. So without the crane, it's really a storage yard. And it's really great, and I'd urge it to move forward, which I think it has. But again, I think that the city could foster or encourage someone to do that, to start that business, to get the crane, so then it becomes a real yard, and you can get boats in and out of the water. So just a thought on that.
Thanks, Mike. Public comment is open. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Robert Hartsock. I am a part-time resident in Morro Bay. I own property on Surf Street. My wife and I spent a small fortune repairing that property. And I wanted to ask a question about the Surf Street stairs. Where are we on it?
It's public comment, and it's we're not going back and forth. But if you'd like to bring that as a priority.
That's what I was afraid of. All of the city council has received a number of emails from me. And for the benefit of the public, I'm an attorney in Bakersfield. We represent public agencies. I spend my adult career doing that. I have a public records request pending with the city. My fight is not with the good people of Morro Bay, but you took down a stairway on Surf Street. You've eliminated coastal access. Not only did you eliminate it, you blocked it. And you claimed it was because of an insurance letter. Everybody knows that an insurance company cannot tell a city what to do. They suggested a closure based on maintenance issues. If you look at your other stairs in Morro Bay, they all have maintenance issues that were very similar to the one on Surf Street. I came up with a potential solution and shared it with staff on how to replace it. I've heard nothing but either silence or it's got to be ADA compliant. I asked city staff, are you sure? Did you confirm this with anybody? I got no answer. So I have a Public Records Act request that has not been met. You're not complying with the law. And again, my fight is not with the city or with the people of Morro Bay, but I'm not going to let this drop. Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment is still open. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Megan, of Megan's Organic Market. I want to talk about a few things. First, the HEAP grant for the warming center and safe parking program. I wrote the Board of Supervisors this afternoon after the EBAC meeting, and I hope that the city, if funding isn't found, that through the HEAP grant, that the city is able to find other funding and prioritize the implementation of the improvements to the Vets Hall. Secondly, I would love to see the council vote to allow adult use cannabis sales in Morro Bay, not just medical. We need new and diversified revenue sources, and adult use cannabis sales seems like a very easy option to take advantage of. And if we don't take advantage of it, people are just going to drive to San Luis Obispo to buy their cannabis. My company just got a permit for adult use and medical sales in SLO, and I just expect all of our customers to drive to SLO and for the city of SLO to benefit from all of that tax revenue. And we should be benefiting from it here in Morro Bay, too. And lastly, the wayfinding signs. I think I went to at least three or four different meetings organized by the chamber to talk about the wayfinding signs. So I do hope that we prioritize implementing them because we talked about it so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Welcome back. I forgot your name, but welcome.
Pat,
welcome.
A couple things. One, those stairs. We used to take those stairs quite often. I don't know if it's what was going on with that, but the people that do live in that very close area did use those quite often. I do remember needing some repair. One of the things was the opportunities that would give hotels to do upgrades. I did hear solar, but you know, Tesla sold over 200,000 vehicles last year in the United States alone, and we have such a huge vacation area, lots of people. With the hotels, possibly an option would be to give them some type of a rebate through the city to install new charging systems in their parking lots. I know that, you know, you have a lot of the big charging areas that are in the Lowe's and the Home Depot's. So basically they're driving to San Luis to charge their vehicle. But if you had that extra incentive to charge here in Morro Bay and stay at a Morro Bay hotel versus possibly San Luis, you know, it's one of those incentives that might pay off if it's something that we can offer. And the work agreements with local hires can also do those. That's something that local guys would love to work on the hotels that are in their area. So just an idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Welcome back. Let's see. Hi. David?
Yeah, David. David Baldwin, Morro Bay Pirate. thanks. Thanks again. I'm really happy to see that local labor made it up onto the board there. We in the building trades feel like the issues around local hire should be right up there in any discussion when you're talking about revenues because of the disposable income that's produced by workers in middle-wage jobs on these public works projects. You generate a lot of that income that's then stays in the community and is used in the community, and that's why the local hire portion is so important. These community workforce agreements that you heard some of the other speakers mention, they also contain provisions that give the project the best opportunity to come in on time and on budget. Everybody on the project gets under one set of rules, and that tends to streamline your project as far as your cross-craft communications and stuff like that on the project tends to move smoother. In addition, there are expedited procedures to settle any grievances or disputes that you might have on the project. And local labor guarantees that there will be no labor unrest on the project in exchange for a management's agreement that there will be no lockouts on the project. And that's how we make sure that the projects continue on time without any interruptions. Make no mistake here, though, what we're talking about is access to good middle-wage jobs and the career pathways that go along with the apprenticeship that's part of these public works projects. Another piece of community workforce agreements is what you may hear called community benefits portions. So those are going to be portions of an agreement that there's any number that a city like Morro Bay could use to reach out to disadvantaged youth, to those who have been incarcerated, to people who have had issues with homelessness or threats of homelessness, women and people of color, and in addition to the local hire part of the agreement. Also, one thing, every community workforce agreement or project labor agreement that the building trades enters into contains an adherence to a program called Helmets to Hard Hats. And Helmets to Hard Hats is a program directed at our veterans and returning veterans and gives them direct access to work on these projects covered by these community workforce agreements and project labor agreements. It also works with a program that you may have heard of called Wounded Warriors. And we make sure that our veterans are given the opportunity, either based on the skills they had while they were in service or skills that they want to learn now in an apprenticeship program, so that they get direct access to these projects. I look forward to Morro Bay moving with something like this. I think it's going to benefit all involved.
Thank you. Public comment is open. Seeing no one coming forward, I'm going to close public comment. Garrett, back to you, sir.
Okay, now we're going to get to, if that wasn't enough fun, we're going to get to a really fun part of the program, and that is everybody is going to get 9 dots, and I'm going to explain the dot exercise to you. So our city staff is going to be up here. We're going to invite you to come forward and express your priorities with these dots. So you have red dots, green dots, and one gold dot. The one gold dot, think of it as gold, not yellow, the one gold dot goes on the project or priority up there that you feel is the most important for this community to consider as a priority. The green dots, you'll have 4 of those are the next highest priorities for the community. So think smart, because you've got 5 affirming votes to go up there. You can vote for things on either side. So if something's over on the shopping list side that you think is most important, you are welcome to put your gold dot on that one, or a green dot if you think it's important and needs to move over. The red dots only go on things that are currently on the plate. And you don't need to use them. You only need to use them if you see that there is something currently on the plate that you think is of lesser importance than things that you see over on the shopping list. Okay, so city staff will be up here because these are kind of cryptic descriptions of what the projects and priorities are. So if you're reading them and you don't understand, I'll invite you to ask them. And our city manager has been diligently creating new programs and projects based on your public comment that you just finished. So we'll put those up as well. So again, only 1 dot per, so don't come up and put a 4 green dots on one program because you think that's the most important. So 1 gold dot for most important, a green dot on the next 4 highest priorities, a red dot only on something that is currently a project that you think is of lesser importance than new projects, and staff will be up here to answer your questions. I'll hand these out in like 30 seconds to you, but first we want to get the new projects and priorities posted up on the shopping list from tonight's public comment.
Okay, I'll just read off the ones that are new, that are already inclusive in the ones that are up on the board. So adult use cannabis, safe parking program, business incubator, state marinas under city management, I assume, outreach to industries, and signed ordinance. The surf seat stairs are part of the inventory of capital needs. The maritime-related events falls under the tourism implementation, because we are looking strategically at the events that are on offer for our community, and the rest were affirmations of what's already on the board.
Okay. Is it possible to ask a question?
Do you need clarification on the process? I think you just heard the explanation that it's part of the infrastructure and capital management determination. So if you're interested in voting for that, that's where you want to put your dot. Thank you. Thank you.
so I did a couple of them. Now I own two lots up there still that I want to build. They're side by side. I want to build a big cabin on one day. That's what the plan. But then I'm partners in another one. So that one, it's funny. I partnered with a guy that was from Susanville. He was a concrete contractor, good buddy of mine. We became partners. He moved to Texas. In the meantime, I basically use the cabin all the time. I'm like, this is great. We got a ski boat in the garage. We split all the expenses. This is awesome, right? Shit, for the last, ever since I had the job here for the last 2 years, he's there way more than I am now. So he's like, this is great, you know? He's like, oh, by the way, I took the boat in for service this year, and it was, you're half as if I'm...
Okay, let's reconvene. All of you with the gold dot left, better hurry. Green dots, gold dots, and red dots. I noticed a couple of blue dots up there. What is the indicator there?
Oh,
just
my.
Kidding. We'll bring it back to you, Garrett. Thanks.
Yeah, I think a blue dot is indicative of color blindness on somebody's part. Well, thank you so much. Now, before you get comfortable in your seats, what I'm going to invite just the council to do is to come over and, without conferring with each other, just take a look at what you see about these themes, because the next thing we're going to do is give you 5 to 10 minutes to come up with your list of no more than 8 projects from the shopping list that we're going to move over to this side of the board for consideration if they're going to be added into our going forward work plans. Does that make sense?
So 8 from the right side that can be moved over to the left side?
That's correct.
Okay.
And so then what we'll do as, and you'll do that independently, then you'll take your seats and you'll let me know what you want. And if Councilmember Addis goes first, she tells me her 8, I'm going to move them over into the refrigerator. And they're going to stay there until at least 2 other of you say that that's a priority, and then I know I've got a majority that wants that moved over.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to invite only council to come up and look. Scott can come up as well if you need any assistance with decoding the cryptic bullet points, and he can tell you what they are if it's not intuitive to you. And then you'll have an opportunity to go back, select 8 that you want moved over, and we'll reconvene when it looks like council is finished with that exercise.
Good. Should be able to do that in about 3 minutes, right? I think so.
So everybody else is welcome to take a break. Thank you. But you're not welcome to come up here and talk to council. And they're not welcome to talk to each other.
good? Okay, it looks like we're good.
Okay,
I'll bring it back to council, and you want us to start with Councilmember Addis and just go down the line and give us your eight. R8.
That would be perfect.
You got it.
And so what we'll do, as they're read off, we're going to move them over to the refrigerator. If somebody else says, yes, I have that one as well, we'll put a check mark on it. And if somebody else says it, we'll put another check mark on it, indicating that at least three of the five have indicated that as a high priority. And then we'll move that over to the plate.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Dawn, you want to start?
My number one is having local labor on capital projects. Number two would be high-speed internet. Three is housing. Four is adult cannabis. Five would be improving the permit process. Six would be a small business incubator. Seven would be a solar program. And eight would be the tourism strategic plan.
Very good. And Councilmember Davis.
Adult use cannabis and local labor, high-speed internet, permit process, housing partnership, and then three new ones, TOT reinvestment, ombudsman, and revenue for capital needs.
Good. Ombudsman, revenue for capital needs, partnership regionally for housing, tourism plan implementation, permit process improvement. Sure, tourism plan implementation, permit process improvement, local labor, adult use, cannabis sativa, TOT reinvestment program. Thank you.
My turn. And these are in no particular order, by the way. High-speed internet, business incubator, adult use cannabis, regional partnership on housing, local labor on capital projects, permit process improvements, sign ordinance, and public-private partnership opportunity fund.
And Councilmember Heller.
Okay, local labor, adult cannabis, permit processing improvement, solar rebate, high-speed internet, business incubator, and regional partnership on housing.
And the winners are?
So the six net new are adult use cannabis, local labor on capital projects, regional partnership on housing, permit process improvement, high-speed internet, and business incubator.
So now I'm going to give the city manager just a moment for him to wrap his head around this, to take a look and see if we want to go. There is a possible next exercise to take a look at the red dots and figure out if there are things of lesser importance that we need to pull off to add capacity. but a lot of that is going to be the city manager's discretion, knowing the capacity of staff right now and the impacts of these net new programs. So I don't know if you're ready in the moment or if you want to take a break and take a look at it and caucus with staff. So we're going to take about a five-minute break just because we want to do all of this stuff really, really well, and we want to give the city manager and his senior staff an opportunity to make sure that they're able to commit to that. Thank you.
That's a good idea.
They're going to ask you guys what you can do?
What a concept.
Maybe.
What a concept.
I thought they just told you.
Garrett, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. And I'm going to give you feedback I didn't anticipate giving, which was the six things that were added can all be carried out by staff if we add one more thing, which is...
Gentlemen?
Rob.
Gentlemen? Staff members?
Live.
Rob? Can we... Yeah, we're coming to order. Thank you. I tried to not be specific.
So there was one thing in the refrigerator that didn't make it over to the plate that would provide staff with the capacity, and I'll let Scott talk a little bit more about what this would mean, and that is a position of ombudsman that would assist with, and we have identified these four as really low-hanging fruit for this position. And Scott, I don't know if you want to expand a little bit on your vision of this position.
Yeah, as mentioned before, the ombudsman was part of the economic strategic plan. One of the key recommendations that the city had somebody who was the interface with the business community and somebody who would help drive implementation. We have an exceptional planning director who is also tied up in general plan, then will be tied up with zoning code, and then will be tied up with vacation rental, is doing some of these things, but is at a director level, it's not easy to create the capacity to be able to be nimble. As we said, to raise the bar, to be able to get on things as soon as that potentiality is in front of you. And we've had some examples where we've been able to do that as a team, as a city manager, as a tourism manager, as a harbor director and planning director, but that, you know, those are hard times to find where we're all free to work together. So that position was discussed and doesn't mean it needs to be a city-staffed position because we know those are expensive. But in order to really address the business incubator, high-speed internet, the opportunity site marketing, the permit processing, I mean, there's probably a few others up there that we could do effectively if we had that. So that was just something we discovered, but the rest of it seems implementable if that's part of the process.
So we have a majority of council that supports moving the ombudsman position over in whatever configuration of employment Scott is able to figure out, then we can do this. If not, the feedback is we need to pare this list down so that we don't overburden existing staff and drive them to produce less than the results that this community needs and desires.
And Scott, for clarity's sake, just to clarify for council, basically you're saying that it may not be, and it probably couldn't be, an existing function assumed by city staff, nor would it be an added new FTE because of the state of the budget. However, it could be a consideration for some kind of contractual relationship, potentially outside with an entity like, I'll just make it up, Chamber or something like that?
Right. There are models like that. I mean, I think the intention in the beginning was for it to be the deputy city manager position. It was hired almost specifically for that. But then when I started, the person who held that position left for a promotion, which was great for him. But then we were immediately faced with budget issue, and we defunded that position. So that took away the capacity to address those.
So are you suggesting that we move it back over?
I would recommend that it be moved into the approved list, if you will, to be able to accomplish those very important economic development initiatives.
Great. Is that head nods?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
This would be the point for us, and I know this is not a meeting where action is determined, but this is an opportunity because we are getting to the point where I'm going to turn it over to Scott to talk about our next steps. So let me quickly review what it is I think we've heard tonight. Is we reaffirmed the existing four major city goals. We affirmed that all of those programs that are in flight will continue to remain in flight. We've added six new programs and then thoughtfully added a philosophy of an ombudsman that Scott and staff will figure out so that we don't have to go through the exercise of pulling things off. Everything that is up here remains part of this record, so if your feedback didn't make it onto the plate, if it's in the refrigerator, again, as capacity comes about for staff, that's something staff will say, we've got capacity, now we'd like to consider the TOT reinvestment program or whatever it is. All of this will remain part of the public record that informs staff's subsequent work as capacity and priorities as described by council allow. That's where we are. So with that, if I'm seeing nodding heads, with that, I'm going to turn it over to the city manager to talk about what the next steps are. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett. So the next steps would be to put this into a spreadsheet form, much like we did last year for the 2018 goals and objectives. Create, as Councilmember McPherson stated, very important to create the timelines, the expectations of when it will come back. Of course, we'll be somewhat conservative on the estimates about when it will come back because there are some things that require more work before we'll be able to dial it in. But we'll give you a sense of when so that we can balance out the agendas for the next year and a half. We understand how important it is that we don't overload council and the community with too many important items at one time. So that will be brought back to council in a regular council meeting for your consideration, deliberation, and ultimate adoption. So that will be just staff's recommendation, and then there will be an opportunity again for the public to provide input on that and council to ultimately take ownership of it and say, no, you know, we should move this around, make this come first in front of that. That's the interaction we had last year when we ultimately made the adoption.
Mr. Mayor, could I
yes.
Can we discuss this a little bit? The concern I have is, in spite of our staff's good willingness to take things on, I don't want another year to pass where we don't really accomplish the goals, you know. And in looking up there, I see on the plate, I see some things with lots of red dots. And I'm wondering if we should take the opportunity to move some of those things off of the plate into the refrigerator. I would like to, frankly, just to ensure that the other things that we've moved forward get done.
So in response to your comment, if you look at the staff report, a large number of goals have been accomplished, and I just want to call attention to that, not that goals have not been accomplished. And in terms of staff feeling that you have capacity to handle what exists there, which I believe you told us, plus the six new ones, my sense is what you're saying is those remain priorities and those are doable because they were prior priorities that were set in addition to the six new ones. Am I hearing correctly?
That's correct. We were able to accomplish over 10 action items last year. We have about a year and a half left in this current council term. We can probably accomplish, you know, 20 or so in that period. So that's sort of an estimate. Of course, we know some of these will continue forward. They're phasing components to them. It's not all going to be accomplished right, you know, during that two-year span, but significant progress can be made. We feel this is balanced, especially if there is the addition of the ombudsman, because a lot of it does sort of fall in the planning, economic development realm. But, you know, council certainly can deliberate if there's items up there that no longer are relevant or maybe we paused. I mean, this is the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, so I'll ask anybody else to weigh in.
I just wanted to ask a question. My understanding is that a lot of those things, because they were priorities and we did have them as objectives last year, you've already started working on. So for a lot of them, it's not like you haven't done anything. You're in the middle of working on some of those. So we wouldn't want to stop you from completing them. So I think that would be helpful to also keep in mind as we look at that list.
Yes.
I'd like to ask about the tourism strategic plan. That didn't get onto the new list, but I would think we will continue to implement that because...
Right.
There's
elements of it that are being... the plan was adopted. We're implementing it. It's just kind of this determines the weight of effort. So if we reach a point where there's items that sort of elevate that need to come to council for consideration within the context of this work plan, we'll do that. But a lot of that is sort of boots on the ground, the work that Jennifer and her crew do and the outreach that they're doing to stakeholders to help push initiatives like strategically planning events that make sense for our community or engaging the arts and cultural community. Those things are part of their day-to-day operations now based on the strategic plan. So that will occur regardless of whether it moves on to the priority list. But there may be things that are significant enough that will require council attention.
And I'll go ahead. Yes. Go ahead.
And then one more question. The solar panel rebates, that's not a huge project that requires a lot of effort. That's simply something that when the Monterey Bay Community Power Association starts to divide up their revenues, that's something we can just suggest because we're part of the board.
That's correct.
Okay.
Dawn, did you have any comments to make?
Well, I appreciate the hard work of staff, and I'm inclined to trust you if you say that you can get some work done and that all of those things are things that can be accomplished, and I'm inclined to trust your judgment on that. I appreciate the process of the red dots and the idea that if needed, we could take things off, but I like the thinking. I think we're going to have to invest in Morro Bay for Morro Bay to be prosperous, and one way to do that is to bring on the ombudsman in some capacity, and I appreciate you being honest with us about, yes, we can do these things if, and so I'm inclined to go with staff's recommendation on that.
And Councilmember Heller, what I was thinking was this is going to come back for action, and I think there'll be an ample opportunity for review and approval then when it comes back to council of these. So this isn't, there's no action being taken. These are the capacity issues that staff has identified they can address, and then it'll come on a new work plan, and then we will take action, and I'll take comments on that, and we possibly will pare that down. I know there's a lot of work being done on a number of those, and they were priorities set by either this council or a prior council that are part of the existing work plan, so I'd hesitate to remove any of them at this time. Yeah. Further summary?
No, just thank you, community and council members, and really thank you, Garrett, so much for doing this pro bono for our community.
Yes, so, let's give him a hand. That deserves a hand. So I just wanted to thank also the community members that were engaged on Polco and were online and gave comments through our Polco system. Also, for those previous sessions that we've had, thank you for attending. And all of you that were here tonight, thank you also. There'll be another opportunity for input when this comes as an action item, and we would hope that you'll be there then. With that, I will move for adjournment, and we will reconvene at the next regular council meeting. Have a great evening, and thank you, folks. Also, my apologies for their great job as well.